August 22, 2020. It's a Watch for Pedro show.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Getting near the end of August. Getting near the end of summer. Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Whoa, you can hear my guests. Because, brother, I'm not at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Brother Matt, we're still in quarantino mode. So, but I'm not man alone. Because of the geniuses in Estonia with their Skype software, I got with me four members of Bouchong out of Chicago. We got Kemet.
Yes.
Glover, Ron, and Debora. And
yeah.
Welcome aboard, man. And big respect to Jamie for making the connection.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pleasure.
Absolutely. Great band. I heard both your albums. Jamie turned me on. He's going to be on the show Monday. And it's really big honor to have you aboard. I got to tell the people, we start off the show with John Coltrane doing Seraphic Light and then Bouchong with No Water After Midnight. And that's got Glover, the stick man with the beat in his hand, tearing it up. Now, who wants to go first? Because I want to talk about each one of your journey through music that led up to being Bouchong members. Mm. Who wants to go first? Glover, you first? Okay, Glover, your earliest musical recollection, your oldest memory of music.
Well, I started off playing, of course, at my grandmother's church. I was like 9 or 10. What really got me into it was I saw Karen Carpenter on TV playing drums.
Drummer lady, right?
Yeah. I saw her on TV, and I was like, wow, I want to do that. And my father said, well, hey, I'm getting some drums. You better play them. They better not sit in the corner. And from there, that was it. And started playing drums from there.
Your pop got you your drum set. Were you allowed to practice in the house?
Not as much as I wanted to. There was some point my mother said, okay, I had enough today.
Yeah,
let's stop
that.
I don't want to hear anything.
What about in school? Did you play in the school, marching band or the choir or shit like that?
Actually, in grade school,
yeah.
I played the snare in grade school. That was about it.
Okay.
When I got to high school, that was a problem there.
Okay, okay. Well,
he just wanted me to play drums. He wanted me to play the clarinet.
Uh oh. Licorice stick. Okay.
This will be the source of many jokes going forward.
Okay.
Clarence.
Glover, can I ask you, what was the first record that you bought for yourself?
My first one was, let me go way back. Deep Purple, Machine.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That was my first one.
Yeah. It's where I learned about how you tune a bass. That's a Machine Head. What was the first gig you went and saw?
My first one was Rush.
Okay. Wow.
That was the very first one.
Sure, Power Trio from Canada.
Oh yeah.
Now, did you get into the thing like after school, where you got a garage band, a bedroom band, some stuff like that?
No. My brother plays guitar.
Okay.
And we actually would just go in the basement and just blare the neighborhood out. So police was at our house a lot during the summer.
I'm curious. Did you guys try to copy songs off records, or did you write your own stuff?
Oh, at that point, we were just copying. Doing a couple of somebody else's stuff. That's it.
That's what we did, too.
Yeah, that was already good. Yeah.
Okay, do you remember your first gig?
My first gig was with a lady named Inez Andrews.
Okay.
She was a gospel singer. With a group called The Caravan.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
My mother listened to her almost every morning.
Uh-huh. And her song, he's a keyboard player.
Yeah.
And in fact, he was just on the Democratic National Convention with, what's her name? He was playing keyboards for her.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, how did you get the gig, Glover?
We played at church together. And I played with Inez Andrews' son. He was playing organ at the church. And he said, hey, can you do this gig? And I think at that time I was probably 12.
Damn.
12 years old then.
Okay.
My brother, he was playing the bass, and my brother was 10.
You know what, Glover, thinking about Machine Head and bass, I think that bass man was Roger Glover.
Right.
That's right. He was.
Anyway, your brother was 10 years old, and you were 12 years old, and you guys were the rhythm section backing up this gospel singer.
Right. That's what we did. We did that, and we went over. Our first gig was at a school over in Indiana, in Gary.
Gary, okay.
And that was my first time experiencing gospel arguments and dislikes and mistrusts.
But was the gig exciting? What was the gig like?
The gig was fun. It was fun.
Okay.
It was when you walk in the door and they see you come in and they go, there's the, expletive. And then they would go, and you ain't expletive either. You know, it was a lot of going back and forth between people.
Sure, sure.
Hey, okay. Hey, you can cuss on this show, can't you?
Yeah, you can cuss your head off. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Here's the thing. What the fuck you talking about? Yeah. He's talking about some expletive cuss guy.
On the Watt from Pedro show, there's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
We walked in the door. There's the bitch now. You're supposed to all be holding, you know, singing, and she goes, fuck you, bitch. It's a Sunday night, and these were all people getting up there going, thank you, Jesus, and oh, God, this and all of that. But they were cussing and going nuts back then.
You just dashed all my dreams.
Yeah, bro. That's showbiz. Okay. We're gonna leave it at that first gig, Glover. Who wants to go next? Kemet?
Glover.
Ron? DeBarra?
Go ahead, Ron.
What we prepared to start.
Okay, Ron, what's your earliest musical recollection?
My earliest? The first record I ever bought was a single, Gladys Knight and the Pips, called Everybody Needs Love. I saw them out in theater. I don't know if you're familiar with the Regal Theater in Chicago. Regal Theater was something like the Apollo Theater was in New York. But when the Regal closed, all those shows came to the Capitol Theater, which was like 2-3 blocks from my house.
Okay.
So we would get all the people from you know, the Motown shows and Stat Show, all those people. Well, Gladys Knight played the Capitol. And there's a guitar lick. Everybody Needs Love, there's a guitar lick at the beginning of the song. And this is about 4 years before I started playing guitar. But I loved that guitar lick at the intro of the song. So I went and bought the 45. I still have that 45 too. That was like 1966. I've been 67. So yeah, that was probably my first one. Man, you talk about after that. Once I started playing music, man, you talk about Grand Funk Railroad and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, and then that morphed into My Vision Orchestra and Return to Forever, and then that morphed into Miles Davis and Coltrane, and on and on and on, and then all the funk stuff. So, yeah, a lot of music, a lot of music.
Well, look, how'd you get on the guitar?
We had a neighborhood band growing up. You know, that's one of the things we did. We didn't have PlayStations and apps and shit like that. The fuck, yeah, we played music. So I played trumpet in the school band. So if you had an instrument, you were automatically in the band. But what happened with the guitar was the guitar player got his name was Fletcher Monikin, but we called him Rennie. I just watched what he was doing, and he put the guitar down. I grabbed it. I just did what I saw him do. So I was just kind of messing around with the guitar, whatever. So maybe a year or two later, my brother walks in with the guitar, like here. Yeah.
Okay.
And he had no idea that I already kind of knew how to play it. So I grabbed it. I started playing, so he looked at me like, how you know what I've been doing? I've been messing around about it. So I started playing, but I didn't want to play guitar. I wanted to play bass. So I took the top two strings off the door. I know that I tried to learn all the songs. My brother or my older sister walked in with the Band of Gypsies album, put it on, and I'm going like, what kind of keyboard is that making that sound? It's like, no, that's a keyboard guitar. I said, no, what kind of keyboard is making that sound? That's a guitar player. That's the guitar. I want to play guitar. So this
will
got me playing guitar.
Yeah, Band of Gypsies. That's Jimmy on the Wow Wow.
That's Jimmy on
the right. And I think Billy Cox on the bass and Buddy Miles on the drums.
Buddy Miles.
And you know that record is like
the Holy Trinity.
You know, Buddy. Yeah.
I think that record is the second set of the first gig at the Fillmore East.
Can you believe that
would you put out your first gig as your first release? That's balls out.
How about that? Yeah.
So
they were daring.
You were in this neighborhood band, right, Ron? What were they called?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, well, we got, I thought we, I, at first we would call our Ready and the Compassion. somebody came up with our copy of Guns of Liberty. I don't know where that came from. I, you know.
Who were the Impressions? That was Curtis Mayfield, right?
But out of all those guys, I'm the only one still playing.
Oh, wow. What do you remember your first gig?
Yeah, the first, matter of fact, it was a funny thing. We did, I had a funny story, but anyway, I'll tell you, the first gig that we played was at a Catholic church. We would do these things called youth masses because the kids weren't going, so they figured, well, we could have some local bands, the local bands play in church, and we'll come in. And so we did a few of these, and we had to submit a song list to Father Gatherer's Father Office. But one of the songs we had on the song list was War Pigs. He would not let us see War Pigs at a mass.
Black Sabbath.
He wouldn't let us play it. But the funny thing about Fast Forward, last year we did a memorial for a friend of ours that passed, a guy called himself Calvin. And we did this in the church, and I told that story. And we wound up doing War Pigs for the Encore Church. And it's like, I finally got to play it.
Oh, man, that's great.
We came full circle.
Yeah, full circle, exactly right. I want to play some Bouchon here, Perfectly Free.
I really had good. Thank you. Just like Read the vulnerability clause. Find cheap healers online. Rest in a vault. Faint in the trenches. I can't find my veins. I saw a bluebird with teeth. My sister, an intimate contortionist.
kills me, buddy. Fusion. Anyone game? How much did it cost?
That were never there before. Expectations.
Watt for Pedro show. Yeah, Bouchong with Perfectly Free. Then Few, Let's Dance, Let's Go, Tokyo. Tobacco from Pittsburgh, brand new Chinese Aquarius, Mr. Tom. Chris Chappelle's Distortion Pedal out of North Carolina. Public Distance Limited. Ma Xin Wen. She was from the scene here in the 80s, but she's up in the Bay Area now doing poetry. So there's a poem, Intimate Vault. The Brannick device out of Lawrence. Wheelbarrowed. I got to play with them a couple times at the Bottleneck years ago. Minuteman. Ah, this is from Indianapolis in 1985. This guy named Paul sent me some stuff. Political Nightmare. And finally, Denial. Denial. From...
Oh, the hit song.
Bouchong. Right. Right, the hit song. That one. Not Denied, but Denial. We'll play Denied next hour. Okay, let's go with Kevin. Your earliest musical recollection, please.
Oh, man. I started playing because my older brother played, kind of like Glover.
Okay.
I wanted to play drum, but we lived in a two-flat on the second floor.
Yeah.
And my uncle, my loving uncle and his evil wife lived on the first floor. And there was no way I was going to get to play drum.
Yeah,
I
hear it, yeah.
So we were watching Zoom.
Yeah.
On PBS.
Tell me that. Come on.
Box 350 Boston Mass, 0213.
Zoom.
And this guy was playing guitar, and my brother was like, hey, play guitar. So he got a guitar. He was a couple of years older than me, so I got a guitar. I basically follow him around most of the time.
Yeah.
And I tried to play guitar a little bit. I really like it. He's like, you should play bass.
Oh, man.
The rest is history.
Kevin, what was your first bass?
It was a Kingston.
Ah, Kingston.
Yep.
Mine too. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
A Kingston.
Yeah, they were Econo.
I played a little off and on, and then I loaned it to my brother's friend who moved to Mississippi, and I never saw it again.
So it was a donate. It was a donate. Okay.
Yeah, he supposedly went off to play with Bobby Rush.
Oh, Bobby Rush. That's cool.
Okay.
And he took my bass with him.
What was your first amp, Kevin?
Oh, man. I don't remember. I think it might have been that acoustic.
Ah, okay.
It was this huge. My brother bought it from this place called Musician's Pawn Shop downtown.
Okay.
And it had... It had the switch on it that you could play bass and guitar with it.
Okay.
So it was perfect, but it was heavy.
Yeah.
I think the head was heavier than the cabinet. The cabinet was 412 with two horns.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember those 70s. Yeah. What was the first record you bought for yourself?
Bill Withers, Grandma's Hands.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yep.
And first gig?
In the in my buddy's basement across the street in Austin, he used to have the little parties in the basement.
Yeah.
And a couple other guys got together, and we decided we were gonna play music, and we actually put the records on.
Yeah.
And played along with the record. I remember the Isley Brothers Go For Your Guns album.
I remember that one.
And I had my brother's guitar and his amp, and I had a big muff, and I drenched everything in distortion, and it almost sounded like I was playing it for real.
So, yeah, because you weren't miming. You were just playing along, right? That's bitchy.
Oh, man. That was my first gig.
Got you right out the gate. Okay. Okay, we got to get to DeBara. DeBara, your earliest musical memory.
Well, my history isn't as interesting as everyone else's, but...
That's okay.
I was basically a late 70s and 80s kid, and I grew up in a very religious family, so circular music and stuff like that, I had to kind of sneak and find those types of... but as far as the music I enjoy, I've always been a first fan. Believe it or not, I wish that I was a drummer before. I used to take like the old school hangers. They had the cardboard part to hang your trousers on.
Yeah.
And I used to take to those sticks and just pound them on the couches in the living room and pretend to sing and play air drums, I guess.
Air drums. But you know, so much rock and roll singing comes out of people singing in church, if you go back.
That's true. Absolutely. He's one of those people that try their best to avoid the whole choir thing.
Oh, okay. I said choir. But, yeah. You know, nobody picks where they come, right? And then you find yourself in a situation, right. And then you try to find your own self.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean, right? And so, I think there is no wrong way because you don't have a lot of choice in the get-go. And then,
that's true.
Right. So, the people you connect with, I think that's what's so important about making bands. But then everybody's got their own little music story also.
Yeah, that was the great over the years. I did connect with people who were into rock, and that's how I got more exposed. And also, thanks to MTV, I got to see a lot of videos and stuff like that that I normally wouldn't have been able to even know about. So, for me, MTV was a great thing because I got to see a lot.
Oh, yeah. The
MTV?
Yeah. I think it turned into a game show thing, right?
You are
I don't know. I ain't seen it since whatever, 20 years. But
when the last time they played a video on?
Yeah, right. It's not music much anymore, right? It's about
It's not MTV no more. Change the name if you're not going to play music.
Well, you know, I found out that they're actually part of Viacom, some home shopping network kind of stuff. So they don't give a fuck.
Right.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour. August 22, 2020, edition Wap Peter Show, special guest, Bhushang. Hold tight for hour two. August 22, 2020, it's the second hour of the Wap from Pedro Show.
Just fine, you know. what we mean. Out of the way, Grandma. So listen up, old timer. Dying now is the most patriotic thing you could do. 'Cause if you ain't part of the workforce, just exactly what's the use of you? What's the use of you? I got to wonder. Let me think about that. Then little Billy came down with some symptoms. Little Billy's only 6 years old. We saw a man on the TV in the doctor's waiting room. He said, this is how it is, truth be told. Then he said, quarterly earnings and the bottom line are under serious threat. And we can't afford to do too much for those not generating income yet. Little Billy's folks have got to understand that if we make some sacrifices, the economy will do just grand, do just grand. See you later, little Billy. Bye-bye, Grandma. Won't forget you, Grandpa.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro show start off the second hour. Bouchon doing Denied. Then we had Sam Bennett over in Tokyo. Grandpa, you're a goner, but the economy will be just fine. Damon Smith, he's living in St. Louis these days with on a stand-up bass, avant-garde, from Dream to Watch. Oh, I dig that, Kevin. Will Johnson after that out of Austin with Terrell. Chrome, out of the city, I can't wait, something rhythmic. David Gerard out of, I think he recorded this upstate New York. Reset A, and then 2011, Bouchon. So how did the band Bouchon get together?
I kind of always wanted to do something like this. And through college, I hung out with a bunch of guys that all played something, and everybody quit once they got to college. Oh, please. We could have literally had a Earth, Wind, and Fire type situation, but everybody quit playing. So I got out of school. I came back to Chicago. I started playing blues scene. And I was hanging out with, I was going to the Chicago artist something organization. And this guy needed a bass player. And Patrick Arnold. And I started playing with him. And through playing with him, he had his gig coming up, and then he called Ron in, right? That's how it happened.
Well, yeah, well, Derwin got me a gig. And that's how I started playing with him. And his Patrick called me up.
And one day we were at rehearsal at his house. At Patrick's house. And he went up front to get something. And me, Ron, and his drummer Ed were sitting there looking. We started playing something, Led Zeppelin or something, wasn't it?
Something, yeah.
We started. And he came back in. He was like, hey, stop. What are y'all doing? And we all looked at each other like, I think we're on to something.
Right.
We decided to do something.
This guy was like a contemporary jazz. He was a little bit of music. He just wanted to play his stuff with. But we never played it the way he wanted to play. But we, you know, right. We had fun.
He played vibes and marimba.
Yeah,
I'm Vibes and marimba. So
yeah,
kind of like a Lionel Hampton.
Yeah, he had a master's from Florida A&M. But he was a policeman.
Whoa!
Yeah,
it was so odd. Right. It was like
Coltrane. John Coltrane made an album with a vibes guy. They called him Bags, right? Milt Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, he played vibes. He would bring all this stuff to the gig. So I mean.
Oh yeah,
and all the microphone, the marimba, all this stuff, and it was crazy all the gig he brought the gigs, you know.
But he didn't want
to. We did that, and maybe about a year or so later, Mike called me up and said, "Man, I'm Cash, man. Let's get together, see if we can get this thing." Because drummer Eddie, he
messed around
and Cash that we had that we had that day. I was there once. That was good. They never came back after that. So we wound up getting one of Mike's buddies, guy named Chris Wilson, to play drums.
Right.
So it was me, Mike, and saxophonist, Darnell Stampley, and we played some rock stuff. We played some kind of smooth jazz stuff, some other stuff. So we did that with them. Chris we did Blue and Green. I was like, she did like smooth jazz sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess. I apologize.
But you guys wanted it to be you wanted it more of a rocking band than with that other cat, right?
Right, that's what we started out doing. So after that, we went to another drummer and some other people. We had got to a point where we were like, you know what, let's just cool off for a little while. But a buddy of mine named Abraham Bolden, God bless you, bro, he said, man, call Glover. All right, what the hell? So Glover came up, man, Glover went to high school together.
Ah, okay, that's
but
right.
But I said I seen him. Yeah, I seen him maybe off and on, but he didn't know I played. I didn't talk about it around high school. What you know, I didn't. Only a few people know I played around high school. So when I walked into my place in Global, he was like, "Oh, yeah." I was like, "Yeah, yeah, God, yeah." Me, goddammit, shit. So we started messing around, learning some songs and stuff. We're like, "Yeah, we kind of need a singer." So Mike, okay, knew the boy from Rebecca shop that she went, and he asked her to come up to rehearsal. So she came up to rehearsal, and you could see she was scared as shit. She didn't know what she was doing herself. But she didn't know
oh, could, what, her first band?
Yeah.
No, I think it was the first time she was lead singer. She didn't know that she right. wanted her to sing lead.
Well, she didn't know she was singing back. She didn't know she was going to be a lead singer. She didn't know. She came up and we asked her what songs you know. She didn't really know anything. So I think we jammed some Chaka Khan and Rufus and some other stuff. So we gave her a tape. Yeah, go learn songs and come back. I don't know if we ever asked her to be in a band. She just kept coming back. So now she's been in the band ever since. And that was like 2002. So this unit's been together since 2002. So that's basically it.
18 years. Here, I want to play Read My Mind.
I'm trying hard to keep my composure. it's real late at night. Everybody's gone to sleep. And I got a six-pack of Genesee and some Lucky Strikes. So I'm going to do some songs. They might come out late at night songs, and they might come out any way I want them. I don't know. I'm going to start with a song that was written by a friend of mine. And this one, you got to get the word.
Thank you. school. my thousand. Oh yeah, Tom. They say it from Germany.
Děkujeme, že jste výborní, mějte se rádi, ahoj.
for Pedro Show? Yeah, that was Read My Mind, Bouchon. Peter Lochner from the old Cleveland scene with See No Evil after that. Nemi Pesnik out of Slovenia. Mino Malic. Šešt, Kala Portoroz, former Yugo bands. These guys from the Czechoslovakia in the 60s. Plastic People of the Universe with Magike Noci. And then finally, as I said before,
cool.
Bouchon. So, how'd you get the name?
Reading. It was like a secret society that existed in I think it was Western Africa. Right. That basically restore when everything gets out of balance, they come they appear out of nowhere magically and restore the balance, and then they go back. You know, you don't know who
they are. What kind of
Africa? Kind of like that, yeah.
So kind of like spirit?
Spiritual warrior.
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
Spiritual warrior. Okay. So Bush, okay. Thanks for teaching me because I had no idea. And tell me, what was the first Bouchon gig like?
Tragic.
Wait, was that in a circus?
No, that was at the bookstore.
That's perfect. Oh, you mean with the current lineup? I thought you mean the first Bouchon gig.
Yeah, I'm talking about Chris, the first.
No.
And Donella.
Oh, you mean there was a version of Bouchon that had a different singer and a different drummer?
Well, that wasn't really Bouchon. We was something else. But we wasn't Bouchon quite yet.
Oh, okay.
We were calling ourselves. But our first gig with this hilda was at some African bookstore, but where the chick that ran the store had no idea what she was getting into. None.
Oh, yeah. She thought that we played, front porch blues band or something. Like you sit up with a dobro and
like Lightning Hopkins or something.
And we got there and we just kind of did what we did, and then she was shocked.
So it went over good.
The crowd liked it. She wasn't expecting what we did.
Right.
The people that we invited, they came in like, oh man, this is great.
And what was it, just like to open up a bookstore or just to have a gig?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We were just have
clear. Clear a little space in the bookstore and set up.
Yeah.
And
I remember it got grossly.
After everything, but yeah, like that. But after that, man,
that was that. What that was before after the book, the grocery store.
That was before the grocery store.
We started that was before the store.
It was the bookstore and then the grocery store?
Then the grocery store, yeah.
What was the grocery store gig like?
Playing in grocery stores is common now. We pioneered the grocery store, too.
Yeah, we pioneered that. We played at a grocery store.
Where'd you play in front of the cash register? Where'd you play?
It was like a little section all to the side before you get to the produce, before you get to the fruits and vegetables.
Okay.
I remember we were playing there, and we were playing Hand of Doom, wasn't it?
Yep. Sabbath.
And this guy walked in, him and his wife, they walked in, and he kept looking back and looking, and then he stopped. That he came over there and looked at us and was like, oh yeah. and he just walked off. I was like, oh, we got one guy.
Yeah, you got it.
Out of the whole store.
Oh man. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, August 22, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show special guest Bouchon. Hold tight, fire free. August 22, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Lost his youth and his soul to a smack bag. Thank you.
solution. Discover the perfect remedy. I sabotage before you get to me. Oh, oh, why when everything is so unbeautiful, you got it so fucking up? Another dead end when we can't even be good friends. I can't hide what's a known fact. Can't put a man on how I feel. Like it or not, I'm telling you what's real. Oh, oh, oh. Why when everything is so beautiful, you gotta go fuck it up. My number one nigga to the very end. Yeah, this is when you fucked it up. Every time something don't go your way, that's when you put the funky attitude on the train. When all is good and we're being in love, somehow you manage to fuck it up. Why when everything is so beautiful, you gotta go fuck it up. Why when everything is so beautiful, you gotta go fuck it up.
Wapra Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Busong doing Think. And then Crane the Skip with Serenity Lane out of Idaho. Moldom and Balmore, Ha for Happiness. These cats are called Punk as a Doornail. And it's like it's a frat boy song called Bra Bra. I just couldn't. Yeah, this cat floated to me, and I laughed so hard. I said, I got to play this. And then Ned Collett and Wirewalker from what they call Down Under, right? Australia, New Zealand.
Oh.
Echo Toes. And finally, Beautiful from Busong. So after you guys pioneered the bookstore scene and the grocery store scene, did you guys ever tour?
Nah, man. We got day jobs. I'm about to retire, so hopefully we'll be doing some touring very soon.
Well, I asked Brian.
We went to Winona.
Okay.
Oh, and we did the Afropunk shows.
Yeah, we did some out of those, but we never did any.
Not like a get in the van and drive around.
Yeah, 45 gigs in 45 days, you know, that thing.
Right,
yeah.
I just,
if you call a tour more than a month in the fall, was my 67th tour. And it was 45 gigs in 45 days. And Chicago was one of them.
Wow.
So I'm just curious if you, because you guys have been around 18 years. I understand the day jobs and that and stuff. But I wonder if you did any touring. Did you ever get to go play New York City? Or?
We should have.
We haven't played New York yet. But a couple times. We get in some situations where we don't know why it keeps happening to us, but somebody may reach out and say, hey, you guys come play such and such. It's like, okay, well, you want us to play? And we never hear word back from them. Oh, we don't know, man. It's just crazy. But, yeah, well, hopefully so. We're going to be able to do a lot of stuff like that.
And you've never been out west yet, right?
Yeah, I haven't been. Tell somebody about us, man. We'll come out. Let them know.
What about, like, 100 miles, Milwaukee? You ever been to
Milwaukee? Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we're with Winona, Minnesota.
Okay, yeah, I know where that is.
which is not far from, how many hours is it from, it's like midway between here and Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's on the other side of Iowa, right?
Right, right. It's all up in, like, I guess, and like then, a tri-state area.
Oh, no, 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 you guys, yeah, that's right. You went through Wisconsin. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, because in Madison, God, great drummer man in Madison for Clyde Stubblefield, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Monona, you're saying Monona, but that town is between these two lakes, Mendota and Monona. So it gets cold in the winter, man. You don't want
Yeah.
I don't know who idea that was. Great times. I was just curious if you guys did the touring. So this last album you did was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You got plans for a new one.
Yeah, always. We got half written songs all over the place.
Okay, okay. And what's usually the process?
Ron, you want to produce on a blues album this time, don't you?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we got a little bit of everything, you know.
Sure. For me, music's music, you know. So if you go play it slow, you play it slow. You play it fast, you play it fast.
Yeah, I mean we got the ability to jump in and out of genres, so to speak. But you know, we just play what we play, man. It depends on what we're vibing at the time.
Right, right.
I might get to play my upright bass this time.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I want to play "Take My Place." This is a great song. Watch for Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Take My Place, Bouchon. And then piece number three, this is live from 2008, Honda, Berardi. Hey, Emily Hay, Joe Berardi, Patoka Honda. And then finally, Best Revenge, Bouchon. This is like you guys' magus opus. The big jam, big whale. I think the band, I can't wait to hear what this third thing's going to be. What's the process? You guys make demos? Or somebody comes in with a lick? Deborah with the words?
Yeah. A lot of our songs come from just jamming. We'll get to rehearsal, and we'll talk about whatever events of the day, then we'll tune up, we'll just start, and somebody will start jamming, someone will just vibe on that.
In the basement, just rehearsing or whatever, and then they'll start playing something, and I'll just start writing and record it all, take it home, and then when we get back together, usually it'll end up being a song that way.
And you're usually the word writer.
Now we all got lyrics. We all write lyrics.
Okay.
I
gotta tell you, Ron, I ain't good at reading minds, so I gotta use words.
I wrote one of those songs, and I didn't even remember I wrote it until we were in the studio recording. I was listening to it.
What one's that?
Denial. Yeah, you probably lived in Denial, right?
I wrote this.
Do you remember?
It ain't just a river in Egypt.
Right, but it was also an old Pink Floyd song, a really old Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah?
Something off Saucer Full of Secrets.
Oh, what?
With Sid?
I probably used to have that.
I think Sid is only on one song. This was on his way out. Yeah, he goes, I was standing on the Nile where I saw the lady smile.
Because I used to have a subscription to E-Music.
Yeah.
You download all the stuff, MP3, and all those hard drives have since crashed. I think I had your album on there and everything.
Whoa.
And I've lost so much stuff from hard drives crashing. E-Music was, I had so... Because they didn't have like real like mainstream stuff. They had a lot of underground stuff that was so cool.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why you back up. I found there's two kinds of people: those who back up and those who will.
Well, you back it up.
Well, backing up, you're talking about the crashed hard drives.
Crashed too.
Yeah, they crashed too. Good point. Anything
like the best backup that is still just a fixed media, some type of a DVD or something.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Just like the cloud, right? What is the cloud? Somebody else's fucking computer, right?
Right.
All right.
Somebody else has experience.
You guys, 18 years being a band together. What advice would you give to young people trying to start music right now?
It plays.
Let the bass player write all the songs.
Yeah. I'm way into that.
Yeah, just keep playing, keep working. For young cats, I mean, nowadays, I mean, you know, I'm 61 years old. I started playing when I was 11.
Yeah.
So for young cats nowadays, they got it made. You can record a song today in your bedroom and put it out. You have it out tomorrow.
That's right.
We didn't have that. You know, back in the old days, you had to go to the studio.
Oh, absolutely.
You had to sign a distributorship. You had to do all these other things. You got to get this made. All they got to do is put the work in. They don't seem to want to put the work in. You know.
Yeah. What about that crap gear we had to play on?
Oh yeah, we had garbage.
It was horrible.
But.
That Kingston was horrible.
So what we got to tell these young people Go ahead.
I was talking to young guys, a buddy of mine the other day. I was like, You can get $100 guitar that sounds $100 guitar back then. Oh my goodness! $40 guitar. It was just crap out, man. But you can get the real expensive guitar and still go out and gig and make good music. So they got it made nowadays. Not you got it made, but kids don't even, you know, they don't even know what half the stuff we went through. You know, back in my day, I sound like an old guy now. Back in my day, we had a band, you know.
I know what you're trying. I'm 62, so I know exactly what you're saying. But look, it's a big honor. It's a big honor to have you on the show. When you guys get done with this next album, when you get done with this next album, will you come back on the show? We could talk about it.
No doubt.
Yeah. As soon as I write all the songs.
Okay.
Wait,
damn it!
I tell you what. I tell you what, next time you come to town, let us open it up for you.
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay, people. It's been the August 22, 2020 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.